Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you. Well into winter. Fortunately, we're in LA, and so we don't have to suffer in the cold. However, we do have to suffer in the toxic swamp coming off the Long Beach port, the oil fields, just the general pollution of a very, very crowded, car-dependent city. And what does this mean? It means the title of the show. Toxic estrogens, the growing threat of toxic estrogens, and what you're supposed to do about it. The education you're going to get today is for men and women. And we think, of course, of women as estrogen and men as testosterone. Unfortunately, gentlemen, our testosterone is unfortunately, due to chemicals, converting to way too much estrogen. And this is creating all sorts of unseen problems. I've got solutions for you. The literature is abound in solutions. The issue, of course, is the general public's not aware of it, at least not aware of the depth of the issue. It's the depth of the issue that on behalf of the show today, I wanted to extend to you, the depth of the issue. So let me be radical. I'm never radical, of course. Let me just be radical for you today. I'm going to tell you something from my vantage point as a clinician. That means somebody that sees a lot of people who have a lot of health concerns, as I have over the last 20 years or so. Let me make a statement, and that is, if you're living in places like Long Beach, like El Segundo, like Torrance, like Redondo Beach, like Huntington Beach, if you look at the statistics, I guarantee you, you're going to see things that are alarming. If you're a clinician and you know how to spot the little stuff, the stuff that doesn't actually make it into the news articles or into the science journals, well, you're all going to know what I'm talking about. And what I'm talking about is the rates of estrogen dominant issues are much higher. That means cancer. It means hot flashes. Let's carve it down to reality. If you're living in El Segundo and you just had that fateful event where you found out that lump in the breast is a malignancy, think about El Segundo. Now, of course, this is not a politically correct statement to make because it's frightening, because it means you may have to move. It means you have to relocate. It could mean you have to change your jobs. But I'm sorry, I've got to get to the pulpit and say it. There are just far too many people dealing with serious, serious life-threatening diseases, cancer included, that are linked to the garbage coming out of the ports. The Long Beach port, the oil industries, the car exhausts. The number of people I've met across the years living within a block, sometimes 25 feet of the 405 freeway, and sitting there spending hundreds of dollars a year on herbs to help themselves, to better themselves. Money spent pharmaceutically and otherwise in alternative medicine also on behalf of concerns understandable to their health. And they're living next to a freeway. And you sit there and you go, Charlie, you're living next to a freeway. You're wasting your money on this herb. You're wasting your money allopathically, holistically, or otherwise. You've got to move. And they look at you blank. I mean, this is why I'm doing the show today. When you really study this whole issue of toxic estrogen, and we're going to define it, we've got to do a little bit of science. Actually, we've got to do a lot of science today. We've got solutions for you, but you've got to get a grip with the understanding. Otherwise, you're going to reduce this show. You're going to reduce this very important topic to what herb do I take so I can bind up my xenoestrogens and get them out of my body. Please don't do that. I've trained now over 5 years to say this to you humbly. Don't take the herbal sucker punch. use the herbs as opposed to pharmaceutical drugs, but use them intelligently because you understand the mechanisms that you're trying to alter or amend. In other words, you've got to understand why and what the herbs do. And I don't mean those one-sentence cliff note cheat sheets. I mean really the physiological mechanisms that produce hot flashes. You down there in El Segundo with hot flashes. You there in Redondo Beach with fibroids. You there with lumps in the breast from Huntington Beach. Gentlemen having erectile issues. Gentlemen noticing that the muscles just don't get hard anymore. I'm talking to all of you. And I'm talking to all of us. We have an issue we're not looking at. So let's get to the understanding of estrogen. As always, the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. That's with two T's, Straight Talk. Get to the website so you can follow with the pictures. Picture number one. Testicles do not produce estrogen. Ovaries do. So this, we start with the females. Three types of estrogen, didn't you know? Type number one, number two, and number three. Type number one is called estrone. Okay, estrone. You see it there in the lower right. Picture number one on the show. What is this, show 245? Wow. What an encyclopedia we have here, if you really take it in. Estrone, often known as the better of the two estrogens. So we have to qualify that statement. Estrogen number two, estradiol. This is the estrogen, if it's in balance, that really gives the woman the power. The woman with ample breasts. The woman that has hips that can bear children. The woman that has thick, lush hair. The woman that has all the secretions she needs. The ideal female fertile icon is going to be born with lots of estradiol. The same way Jack LaLanne, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Muhammad Ali, I mean athletes, people with outstanding physiques who win the championships because they're physically superior in their form. Athletes, successful athletes, Michael Jordan, those guys have ample amounts of testosterone. Testosterone makes you jump higher and punch harder. Well, the female equivalent is estradiol. Wonderful. Then why is estradiol and estrogen such a threat? Well, we're going to qualify the statement, and you can't make a one-sentence statement to understand what I'm saying. Three types of estrogen. The estrogen powerhouse, the estradiol. The estriol. What does estriol represent? Estriol represents the less harmful, the weaker acting, the least potent form of our estrogen. So your ovaries are producing these things. Wonderful. So let's talk about estrogen production. There, if you go to picture number two, you're going to see the chemical formula. Don't sweat this stuff out. Just get friendly with it. Estradiol, that's what we call E2. Estriol, that's E3. So we give it short names. So we talk in code. And you have to learn the codes. E1 is estrone. E2 is estradiol. And E3 is estriol. E1, E2, E3. Let's go to picture number three. Now, there's a chart simply saying that there's a process here whereupon the estradiol, that's the powered estrogen, goes to the cell membrane. It binds to a receptor site. That's not on this chart. I'm not just repeating charts. I'm using charts to facilitate the things I'm saying. So, the ovary, think of that pubescent female. It's 16, 17, hormones raging, problems in school, problems at home, Mom and dad just can't talk to her. Periods from hell. Clots. Bleeding. Cysts in the ovary. Endometriosis. Think of that young lady. Living next to the Torrance oil refinery. Hawthorne. Inglewood. No connection being made whatsoever. And she's on the birth control pill. One of the most toxic forms of estrogen ever known. The birth control pill. How many women are still doing it avidly? Lest they put down the pill and then put in the copper IUD and create another terrible problem. So let's start with that stereotypical teenage female with raging hormones. Or that woman in her 20s, married, looking to have a child. And in every third week, she miscarriages. And she's done this one or two times. But if we go back to that woman in love with her husband, ready to birth children, if we take her history back a decade, often she's the one that had the periods from hell. So this estradiol is going to be produced in the ovary. It's going to go to your cells. It's going to go inside the membranes through receptors, and we're going to talk about that later. It's going to go inside the cell. It's going to go in through the nucleus to the DNA, and it's going to trigger DNA response, meaning the DNA is simply off the cue of estradiol, going to start making things. Yeah, it's going to make your skin thicker and smoother and tighter. It's going to make your muscles bigger. It's going to allow you to run faster, jump higher. It's going to do a lot of wonderful things. Lubricate the vagina during intercourse. It's going to do a lot of wonderful, very, very important things. Now, at some point, the metabolites of that estrogen, meaning what the cell spits out after it uses the estrogen, the body just doesn't say, oh, that's the excess estrogen now, or the estrogen we don't need because we've used it and we're going to just get rid of it. The body starts recycling it. And what you're looking at on this chart is what they call the bad estrogen, especially the 16-alpha-hydroxyestradiol. This is called a bad estrogen, as opposed to up on the top there, the good estrogen. Now, bad estrogen, good estrogen, what in God's plan could possibly allow for bad estrogen and good estrogen to be produced in the natural mechanism of things? Well, if your body's functioning correctly, that 16-hydroxyestradiol will go on over to the liver. And the liver, in a two-phase process, what we call phase one and phase two, I'll show you that a little later, the liver, if it's working properly. Now, again, if the liver's working properly, if it's working properly. Well, I know my liver's working properly because I do my physicals each year at Kaiser Permanente, and they didn't say anything about my liver. My liver enzymes are normal. See, this is where you've got to dig deeper. You've got to understand the difference between what your medical doctors are concerned with and what you're concerned with. You've got to understand that A-plus physical and clinical exams once or twice a year at your local health provider assures you that you're probably not at the doorstep of an imminent disease on your way to ER, although that's not true often enough. But for the most part, they're looking for stuff that's going to hurt you and take you to the hospital within a year or two. They're looking for gross markers. We're talking about the subtle markers. We're talking about the things that go on inside the cell long before you ever get sick. And we have ways of empirically deciding whether you're in that category for concern. Empirically deciding. Empirically. Do you understand what that means? I've used it before. The term empirically means some of these statements, many of them that you'll hear today, do not have double-blind placebo studies scouring the journals, peer-reviewed, put in Lancet, the New England Journal of Medicine, so on and so forth, to be trusted by even the deepest and worst skeptics. Empiric medicine doesn't work that way. Now, people make a mistake because they say, yes, we know empiric medicine doesn't work that way, but what we call allopathy, hospital medicine, pharmaceutical medicine, it does work scientifically and not empirically. We say that pharmaceutical medicine doesn't work empirically. Empirically means someone says something. Someone says, do this or take this. And if you do this or you take this, you're going to get a good result. Empiric medicine says every person or lots of people that do this and take this feel better in exactly this way, and we can reproduce it. And empiric medicine comes in and says, but we don't know why. But we're not sure if it's always reproducible. There's only a proportional trend. There's something there, but sometimes there's not something there. Empiric medicine is a slightly weaker medicine. Double-blind placebo studies don't want to respect empiric medicine. The double-blind placebo study says to empiric medicine, you know, you guys over there, you're not really scientists. You don't really have anything to say. We don't have enough studies to show that when somebody drinks olive oil and flushes bile out their body, we don't have enough studies to say that when somebody does coffee enemas, we don't have enough studies, double-blind placeboed studies, to say that herbs work, that coffee enemas work, that olive oil flushes work. Therefore, this isn't science. And what double-blind placebo study medicine, hospital medicine, allopathic medicine, Kaiser Permanente medicine does is put the white coat on, cross their arms, and look down their nose at you, and you all know what this feels like. Well, the reason they're full of it, you see, the reason they're cunningly deceptive is a high percentage of pharmaceutical medicine is empiric. Anybody that uses science to study drugs knows that the FDA passes drugs each year, and they don't know how the drugs work. They don't know what the toxicological effects are. They're just about a little more than experimenting with the public. And what they leave out, of course, is that the side effects of drugs as composed to herbs are infinitely more dangerous. What they leave out is they didn't do a double-blind placebo study to understand how these drugs bioaccumulate, how the negative effect of the drug over years can hurt the body more than the positive part of the drug can help. That the mechanisms are not understood. You think Prozac is understood? I'll give you a personal example, not a personal, but I'll give you a clinical example of recent. We had a medical doctor put a young man on Neurontin, that's called gabapentin, for physical pain, nerve-related physical pain. The medical doctor said point blank, this drug has no side effects. The chat rooms were loaded with side effect reports. Thousands of them. You couldn't find a medical doctor to back that statement up, that gabapentin or Neurontin had side effects. The detox this young man went through over 8 months was nothing short of horrendous. One step short of being condemned to an insane asylum. And I saw this happen. And when you studied the drug, when you studied gabapentin and Neurontin, what you found is the mechanisms weren't understood. There are so many drugs like this. So I'm going to lay a few things out today for you. And they are just as much a part of science as anything. Only often it's empiric science. And you hear me mention this word time and time again. I want you to get used to the understanding of what empiric means, because what you're going to face in crisis, and boy, do I deal with people in crisis. More and more. Some of the reasons related to toxic estrogens. And what you face when you're in crisis is a medical community that's going to consistently say to you, this is not science. Don't go home and do a coffee enema. It'll cause brain damage. And where are the studies? There's no relationship to the cysts you have and the birth control pill. There's no relationship to the birth control pill or the Premarin you take and your breast cancer. That was an old concern in the 60s and 70s. The birth control pills today, the hormone replacement therapies such as Premarin, really, they've been altered and they're absolutely no threat to you. And there's all sorts of logistics around this. All right, little side note. As important as anything I'm going to tell you today, understand the meaning of empiric. So that estradiol, back to this picture, that estradiol produces as a metabolite 16-hydroxyestradiol. That needs to get out through the liver in a two-phase step. But if your liver is so busy, if it's so congested, if everything from the bile ducts to the blood viscosity, so stress to the liver, bile ducts are congested. Stress to the liver, the blood is too thick. Terms I've used before, if you're new to the show, get on the sites and start studying. If your liver is overworked, and your liver is overworked, then these metabolites, like 16-hydroxyestradiol, these metabolites start creating too much estrogenic effects in the body. They grow too many things. They become estrogen unchecked. If all the metabolites processing through the liver, phase one and phase two, were not conjugated by the P450 enzyme, were not denatured by the P450 enzyme system, were not then conjugated, were not then thrown out through the bile ducts, if those processes, liver-oriented, weren't occurring, then the metabolites of the estrogen go unchecked and you start growing things you don't want to grow, all the way to estrogen-receptive breast cancer. Fibroids, estrogen, hot flashes, polycystic ovarian syndromes, lumps in the breast, so on and so forth. So, point being, estradiol in the cell, good. Metabolites, okay, if the liver works. Now, what this actual picture is for, you see where it says DIM? DIM is a short for a word here that I'll bring you to save you some time. I want you to go to picture number, let's see here. There's a product made by Premier Research Labs called Estroflavone. Go down to picture number 39, Estroflavone. Now I want you to go to picture number 40 and look at the back of this wonderful product called Estroflavone. You're on the back and you're looking at, you see where it says Fem Phyto Support? Go down to the middle line there where it says diindanol methane. Diindanol methane. DIM. Now go up above that to picture 35 and look at the word DIM. Diindanol methane. We'll call it DIM. Now go back all the way up to picture number 3. What this is saying is DIM converts the 16, the bad estrogen, into the protective estrogen. Research shows that diindanol methane can support healthy estrogen metabolism. So, we've got herbs, we've got foods, we've got isolates. DIM is one of them. And what it shows is that there's a conversion process of the estrogen metabolite into the good estrogen, which reduces the harmful unchecked effects of the aggressive estrogen. Now that's a setup for a much bigger issue, which is in normal estrogen metabolism, how many facets, how many dimensions of the problems with estrogen metabolism can we hit at the same time to bring down the dangerous effects of too much estradiol? Well, bringing in something like DIM as a supplement, finding out you can get it from cruciferous vegetables or its equivalent from cruciferous, the broccoli, the cauliflower, so on and so forth. Understanding that we've got about six or seven herbal, nutraceutical, food-oriented approaches that has to factor into the big picture. Why do I say that? Well, you just can't marginalize this threat of estrogen to a supplement. Why? Suppose your liver doesn't work well. Now, here's another threat. And this threat is one that Los Angeles bathes in. The amount of toxic xenoestrogen circulating. This isn't something you say and then you move on to the supplement. This isn't something you say and then you move on to the liver cleanse. This isn't something you say and then move on to some solution. This is something you say and you sit and you really ask yourself how you're going to get out of Los Angeles. Now, you don't want to listen to that. I understand that. If you're sitting in an apartment in El Segundo right now, or Torrance, or Redondo Beach, you're going to shut off the radio. I understand that, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. And I'll tell you why. Because I and others do all these things for people. We use cinnamon. We use DIM. We flush livers. We go after the xenoestrogen issue on many, many angles. And I'm telling you, you don't see quite the result you want to see because of the intensity of the exposure. These toxic estrogens are so thick in the air. And I want you to think about that. I want you to consider that when you live in a place, well, I'll stop saying El Segundo. When you live in a toxic area, you can smell the filth in the air. You can run your finger across the front windshield of the car. You can take so much in through the air every single day that no matter what you do, aside from eliminating your exposure to the toxic estrogens, you won't cut it. And what does that mean? Well, if it doesn't mean move, it's got to at least mean this. I want you to go to picture number 33. The IQ air filter. These are expensive air filters. No, it's not the $600 or $700 HEPA filter. It's the $1,200 IQ air filter. And I'll tell you why you need it. Because it will trap. You see? You see their certificate performance? 99.97% at 0.3 microns. It will trap the tiny, toxic, xenoestrogenic brew circulating in your home and concentrating. You all know indoor air pollution is much greater than the air pollution outside. So can you imagine what it's like in your house when you can smell it outside? If you're in an apartment building, if you're in an office building, the closed AC systems, the closed air circulating systems will concentrate this stuff many, many times what it is outdoors. Indoor air pollution is always greater than outdoor air pollution. So there, I think maybe I told you something bleak, but there is a solution for the office. There is a solution for the inside of your home. You've got to get a very good air purification system. So here's the marker. If on any given day you can smell on the inside of your home the smut, like near the Long Beach port, my office is down here in Costa Mesa. I can smell it every single day, even in Costa Mesa. I would venture to guess that the entire Southwest is coated in this stuff. When you fly into Los Angeles and you look at the brown cloud above the city, what do you think you're looking at? So why are we taking herbs? Why are we surprised at the rates of breast cancer, endometriosis, polycystic ovaries? Why are we banging our head against the wall trying to get rid of hot flashes? When just flying into Los Angeles on any given day, you can see the cloud of xenoestrogenic garbage we're all inhaling and the concentration of it in the home, especially in places I've already mentioned, is horrid. So there's the bottom line to you. Number one, an air purifier. Number two, two levels of approach to the liver. One, and we don't need to state this too often, right? Number one, that you clear out the toxic estrogen through the biliary system. That you clear it out through the olive oil flushes. And that your markers for blood viscosity show that your blood is moving. The venous blood is draining out of the liver at a rate fast enough to keep the liver at an optimal function. So this liver now that's sucking in all the poisons in your blood, that's putting it through a phase one and phase two detoxification process, has to drain its own blood to function optimally. The venous drainage of the liver defines the health of the liver. The Chinese and the Vedics call this blood stagnation, liver blood stagnation, cold blood stagnation. Very linked to hands that are cold and hands and feet that are cold. Your hands that are cold, your feet that are cold. Don't think thyroid. Think liver blood stasis. Hot flashes, hot head, cold hands, cold feet. Think blood stasis. Purple sublingual veins, purple blue veins under the tongue. More than anything, have you done the birth control pill? More than anything, what's your xenoestrogenic profile? How many chemicals through your diet, through the air, through where you live, through cosmetics, through plastics, through fast food, through unmeasured quantities in your fats? Fats are good, but fats are where animals store their toxic estrogen. How do you profile out? And more than anything, when you're trying to determine what the level of blood viscosity is in your liver, just pinch an inch. What I mean by pinch an inch is just take your finger and dig it into your arm or your leg, especially in your luteal phase. Ladies, day 18, day 19 to the day you bleed, press into your legs, press into your shins. And when you say ouch to moderate pressure, when you compare it to somebody that you know is healthy, that you have no doubt is healthy, and you press it in, when you start to realize how much more sensitive you are, how much painful just a little bit of pressure into your tissue is, start looking at blood stasis in the tissue. What that blood stasis mirrors is the blood stasis in the liver. Now, that's an easy way for you to get a sense of how your liver is suffering in its phase one and phase two detoxifications. Now, that's empiric. That is an empiric statement. That is one of the bastions of Vedic and Chinese medicine. And I've already made a number of empiric statements from doing enemas to flush out the conjugated estrogens. I'm going to continue to make empiric statements, like that you can use herbs from cinnamon to the indoles to various others, to Pacific Yew, to various others that will bind up the toxic estrogens. The sea greens, the algaes, the chlorellas will bind up the toxic estrogens. But we've got arguments against the use of these things because we don't have enough studies. And yet, empirically speaking, we know this is actually good. So you got to understand the way the game is played. Science is often viewed as non-science because we do away with common sense and empiric evidence. Let's look at phase one and phase two detoxification in the liver. Let's take a look at this now. Let's go over to page number, picture number 11. Go to picture number 11. There you go. Toxins and waste. fat-soluble toxins, water-soluble waste. The way the liver works is it takes toxic estrogen, and the cytochrome P450 enzymes put it through any one of a number of chemical processes: oxidation, reduction, hydrolysis, hydration, dehalogenation. Those are only some of them. And of course, this is a very glutathione-dependent process. And once it breaks these things down, like your toxic estrogen, it goes into phase two. And phase two is your conjugation, methylation, acetylation phase. And of course, that requires all sorts of cofactors. So good nutrition, of course, is important, but this isn't the point. The point is that the liver is the vacuum cleaner. And then the biliary system are the drainage sites. Phase one is the cytochrome P450 system. And phase two is what you break down, you bind up, and then it says, you see, water-soluble waste eliminated in the bile, urine, and stool. About 75% of all your toxic estrogen comes out in the urine. And about 25% comes out in the biliary system. So if you have a clogged biliary system, and you're trying to eliminate the toxic effects of the xenoestrogens that are everywhere, you're not going to do too well. You're going to lose about 25% of your capacity. And even if that's an extreme statement, you don't have 10 or 15% to lose. Now, there's another part of this, too, with another solution. Go to picture number 18. Here's a part of how you remove toxic estrogen you need to understand. And that is that if you look at this picture and you see the liver and you see it dumping through the common bile duct into the duodenum, and of course the duodenum goes out into the toilet. So if you look at that big liver there, this is picture number 19, right? You're looking at picture 18. Picture 18, you're looking at the liver, you're looking at the word bile salts right in the middle of the liver. And you're watching that tube, that's the common bile duct going in past the stomach, going into the duodenum, and it's dumping all this toxic bile with all those xenoestrogens in it. And it's going to go through your 35 feet of small intestine, into your large intestine, and out into the toilet. That is, you see, that is the thought. The reality is, you see the word in the lower left, enterohepatic circulation? Here's the bottom line. A lot of what's in the bile goes back into the blood, and it's not just 5%, okay? You see that 95% of bile salts are reabsorbed by the small intestine? 5% of bile salts are lost in the feces. Well, that means 95% of the bile salts go back into your blood. That's good. That's part of normal physiology. But hidden in this notion that what is on its way to the toilet bowl recirculates back into your liver and into your blood, hidden in that statement, hidden in the fact that the good stuff, the bile salts, what you want going back into the blood and back to your liver, is a lot of poison. A lot of those xenoestrogens go back into the blood. That's a big statement. Because if you're living in a toxic swamp and you're taking steps to do enemas, to bind things up, so on and so forth, you've got to understand that if you're constipated, if your bowels are sluggish, if you think a little diarrhea is a bad thing when your body's trying to blow off poison, you're going to have the worst symptomology. We see this. People who are consistently constipated have the biggest problems with toxic estrogens. Because when you're constipated, you're giving through the enterohepatic circulation, you're giving the poisons more time to be reabsorbed back in. That's why you use MediClay FX. That's why you use a good calcium bentonite clay. And my one for choice would be the MediClay FX. It's Premier Research Labs. Always that company will deliver the super clean supplement. So you want to use, when you're having issues, the female issues, the male issues, you want to use, when you have enlarged prostates and you're a construction foreman, a carpenter, when you work in industry, in a factory, when you're an auto body worker, when you look and you look at the number of people, males now I'm talking about, that are having their testosterones converted to estrogens, that are having all these estrogens come in that they're not excreting, and they're overwhelming and competitively inhibiting the effect of their testosterone, you think of these clays. Because the clays will bind up the toxic estrogens, and then you'll defecate them out. So the use of clay to bind up the xenoestrogens in the intestines, super, super intelligent thing to start to explore. A liver that moves its blood, a liver that has biliary patency, an intestine that's using binders like calcium bentonite, a person that's limiting their exposure to the millions and trillions of chemicals out there, all of which are analogs of estrogen. They compete with estrogen at binding sites, and using things like better life choices, won't get into it. I have an educated audience getting and making sure it's not in your dairy, it's not in your meats, that you're not using plastics that leak, so on and so forth. You can get all this stuff online. The purpose of my show is not to tell you things you can easily see in lists on YouTube or in articles in Women's Home Journal. The purpose of this show is to give you an understanding of a process so you can shift your perspectives to absorb and take steps on a more comprehensive level. And the reason I do this, the reason that I've evolved to this, is because I'm just like you, or I was just like you, in the sense of, what do you think happens to doctors? They get all the lists, they get all the data, they look at all the information, and then they start doing what their teachers and what the articles say to do. And I'm sorry, I've never been impressed with the results. Meaning, you can't just approach any problem, you name it, from steps you want to take with your cancer to steps you want to take with your hot flashes and back pain, with these singular, unilevel approaches. And yet, how do you integrate it? How do you bring it together for yourself? Well, there's a point where you can't and you need help. And if you do, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. But above and beyond that, beyond making an appointment, beyond seeing your healthcare practitioner who thinks in similar ways, you have to understand the mechanisms, and that's the primary purpose of the show. I'll never stop telling you this, not until I see that level of intelligence rise high, and we have a lot more work to do. What are we talking about when we say estrogen conversion? Well, here's a little finding. Let's discuss this. Go to picture number four. Just want to give you a visual of a cell that binds estrogen. This is picture number four. Estrogen binding to receptor to send message to cell. When we say the xenoestrogen, those are thousands and thousands of chemicals, like estrogen, but not exactly estrogen, that will make the net effect of estrogen way more aggressive in your body than it should otherwise be. This is what we mean by hormonal imbalance. This is step one to hormonal imbalance. And it binds to the same receptor site as your estrogen. Now, you want to know something that does this too? Something your body makes that competes with your own estrogen? Cortisol. That's right. Estrogen competes with cortisol. Cortisol raises under stress. Ladies, hot flashes. How many of you ladies out there notice that under stress you have more hot flashes? There's my point. How many of you notice that anything, how many of you notice that your cystic acne is worse under stress? How many of you notice that your PMS under stress gets worse? And there's a reason for that. Anything hormonally related, from cystic acne to hair loss to PMS cramps to infertility to hot flashes to polycystic ovaries to breast cysts, all the way to cancer. You become more estrogen dominant under high stress because cortisol, in a sense, is a xenoestrogen. Isn't that amazing? That's an understatement. And this is why I went earlier into this thing about Long Beach and El Segundo and so on and so forth. Because really looking at this, really absorbing it myself over the years, we say these things like stress. We say these things like toxic estrogens coming off oil fields in the Long Beach port, so on and so forth. But we don't realize the gravity or the depth of the effect. Cortisol, the place you live, blocked biliary systems, blood stasis in the liver. When I put those statements against certain herbs that will bind up the toxic estrogen, you're talking about two levels of effect. The key is use the herb, use the nutraceutical, but do the foundational work. Put them together if you want to see results. We emphasize the herb too much, and we don't emphasize the foundational work enough. And it's not that the herbs are not gifts. Nobody here is saying don't do the herb, don't use the herb, don't understand the herb. But I am saying if you want to see results in your life, you have to get the gravity of the issue. So cortisol competes with your xenoestrogens. Cortisol competes with your estrogen. Stress works like a xenoestrogen. That's picture number four. Now let's come over here to what we call aromatase inhibitors. Let's go to picture number 17. Aromatase inhibitors. An aromatase inhibitor is any one of a bunch of herbs. I'm going to give you a small list of them later. Any bunch of a bunch of herbs, if you see that picture, aromatase inhibitor, picture 17, ladies, you have testosterone. Gentlemen, you have testosterone. When you have a lot of xenoestrogens, those xenoestrogens will convert to estradiol using aromatase. Aromatase is an enzyme that the body makes. And aromatase is active in the evolution of what you breathe in, what you eat, what you use on your skin. What we've defined as a toxic estrogen converting to estradiol off the backside of an enzyme called aromatase. Herbs like cinnamon, herbs like cypress rotunda, herbs like curcuma or white turmeric, it's called. Indole 3-carbinol, DIM. Stuff you're going to hear that's herbal that supports healthy estrogen is basically saying often enough, as in the case of cinnamon, as in the case of white turmeric, as in the case of, say, a product called Myomin, three potent herbs there. And what they do is they take the toxic estrogen and they block the aromatase enzyme, which it needs to convert to the toxic estradiol. They minimize the translocation or the transformation of your testosterone, ladies and gentlemen, into the toxic estrogen, into the estradiol. So you can use herbs to block that last event. You can use herbs. Go to picture number 35. Go to picture 35. There's an example. Go to picture 36. Myomin, there's an example. Go to picture number 34, 18 natural aromatase inhibitors. I want you to be familiar with the word aromatase. Look at picture 38. Look at picture 38. Aromatase inhibiting foods and herbs. If you haven't heard of this enzyme, if you haven't heard of this word, you must. You must, because even if you were male, go to picture 37. High estrogen in men. You see this with construction guys all the time with enlarged prostates. Construction guys that have problems in their 50s where their muscle tone isn't there, the prostate is enlarged. How many people over the years do you see with enlarged prostates, prostate cancer, and they work around a lot of toxic estrogen? Well, again, before that, testosterone converts to estrogen. Before the xenoestrogens convert to estrogen, you use the herbs that are aromatase inhibitors in products like estroflavone, myomin, DIM, and they're good to do. And it's an important approach. But in the context of the last 45 minutes of the show. Now, if you can put this together, well, now you're going to get result. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you can't integrate, if you find this stuff is too much to do, if you don't have the time, maybe you don't have the energy, maybe you don't even have the inclination to piece it together. I want you to understand, you need to piece it together. You're not going to get result marginalizing topics as complicated as this. You're not going to get result marginalizing them down to a single herb. It does not work that way. And better you do a little bit than nothing, of course. But in the end, you want to see results. Thus the show and my point. Let's scan the globe here. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the pictures I put on here today. And let's go to picture number 5. Toxic estrogen balanced by progesterone. You bet. After 45, 50, for different reasons, that balance between the amount of estrogen and the amount of progesterone starts to slant in favor of too much estrogen, not enough progesterone. Proportionately, ladies, you lose progesterone faster than you lose estrogen as you age. Thus, this thing about progesterone cream, so on and so forth. Guess what? Against living at the Long Beach port, forget it. Don't let that be the voice of doom, because I've given you solutions and I've given you a deeper perspective. But over the years, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, progesterone was hailed as the answer. You have hot flashes, you have cystic ovaries, you have this, you have that. Put the progesterone cream on and watch the miracle happen. John Lee wrote the book, What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Menopause. Very, very intelligent, well-intentioned books, and everybody used it, and I'm sorry. It helps, but it never cut it. People applying it to get rid of their fibroids, people applying it to get rid of breast cysts, and not a great return. The claim and the expectations, okay, were very, very poor relative to the results. Why? I'm explaining why today. But again, understand, there's an issue about dwindling progesterone, the unchecked effect of estrogen, especially if you're a female that makes way more estrogen. Sophia Loren, Jane Mansfield, and Jane Russell. Pam Lee Anderson, way more estrogen than Twiggy. You get my point. The buxom, multiparous female is estrogen dominant. Good, right? On the farm, that's who you marry if you want 10 sons. Not the one that's not going to be able to pop a kid without tearing and dying. And at the turn of our last century, the 1900s, this was a very big issue. The top two causes of death, infant and maternal mortality. And it was that way for thousands of years. So this issue about estrogen and growing females that could birth, well, hands down to us. Fantastic. In the context of the Long Beach port community, etc., we've created a whole new mechanism here. And if you keep your eyes open, what you see coming into your offices is indicative we have a massive issue here. Thus the show. Let's keep scanning here. Let's keep scanning. Indole-3-carbinol. The Myomin mechanism. Take a look at that on your own. That's a supplement with three potent aromatase inhibitors. Picture 9, indole-carbinol 3. Take a look at that. Indole-carbinol 3 is another nutraceutical. So what they'll do is they'll find something in, say, a cruciferous vegetable. They'll take it out. They'll concentrate it into a package and tell you, do this. And that makes sense to a point, but sometimes they didn't get the full molecule. The full molecule from nature. The pros and cons of nature. Articles abound saying, don't bother with the herbs because the herbs are bound in cellulose, because the herbs don't absorb, because you don't know what dose to use, so on and so forth. And there are arguments for and against nature. And you have to understand these things. Of course, that'll be the topic of another show. Maybe we'll do a part two of this. Maybe not. We'll see you next week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. 714-850-1007 if you need help.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.